Welcome again, Michael, to another programme.
Thanks very much, Noel. Good morning to everybody.
Indeed. This week, we're concentrating on the Kingsale Beg area.
We are indeed, Noel.
We touched on it, I think, there a couple of sessions ago. We touched on it, all right, but this is a more detailed look at it.
This is, well, and it was just because we were talking about the church in Kingsale Beg, and there's a couple of houses around the place, and I kind of, you know what, I said, you know, it would be nice to do a bit more kind of about this area as well. So this morning what we're going to do is we're going to leave here now at the moment, Noel. We're going to take a nice little walk down the docks and we'll go down to the pierhead, just past the credit union, sit in the pierhead. And really what you can see in front, you know, that's what we're looking at. You know, across the bay, all the houses kind of ish.
Basically, from the bridge, we'd say, from the bridge. Down along, and a wide arc down along to Easter Point.
And what we're kind of doing is kind of from really from Monatree House all the way down to the Piltown.
Yes.
And I have some... when I started this first, I was kind of doing it. And I must say... there's a website for everybody to stay there. If anybody's interested in Yall, Kinsale Beg, Ardmore areas and all this, it's just called the Kinsale. Google Kinsale Beg History, and it's a Kinsale history, and it's just amazing. Whoever did it did a fantastic job of it.
Yes.
It's one of the best I've ever seen.
Go away.
You know the way, and the amount of it. So every bit of information tonight
this
morning comes from this, and every bit of it, and it just so many stories, so many everything, so much happened over there. It's which I never knew about, and I don't think anybody, even people living in Piltown now with the new housing estates and all that, and the older estates as well. It's just fantastic, you know the way. So that's what we saw. Just even to, we're sitting down now in the docks, Noel.
Yes.
Two of us looking over.
And it's a beautiful sunny evening
beautiful.
There.
Beautiful.
All Monatree now is bathed in the golden sunlight.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
And we paint a lovely picture, don't we?
And like Kinsale Beg, the actual area of Kinsale Beg, it's a big area. It takes in the likes of the Piltowns, the Monatree, all these areas as well. And Kinsale Beg, I was trying to find out like what... it meant. So I looked up Kinsale in Kinsale County Cork, you know, outside Cork City.
Yeah.
But what it says is Kionsala Beag, Kinsale Beg. And Kionsala is the small head of the brine. So brine is salt water. So it's a headland. That's basically Kinsale,
right.
The small headland.
The small headland.
That's what Kinsale Beg Beag means as well.
I see.
And I looked a bit more into it then because I said, you know what, Piltown, and
yes.
We've one side is Piltown, we've another side called Pilmore. Pilmore is obviously the big pill. Piltown is the town of the pill.
Yes.
So I was kind of looking at, Irish speakers are going to probably kill me for this one because the only thing I really find out was that pill is a Welsh place name element defined as the tidal reach of a waterway inland. So obviously a low-lying area where the water goes in, it's kind of known as a pill then as well at that stage.
Yes.
So obviously Pilmore outside,
it's
a very big one, you know the way, it's huge because it covers, I suppose when the tide goes over the land and then when the tide goes out, the land is there again.
Yes.
So that's kind of the meaning of the pill side of it, and Kinsale Beg then is the headland of the beside the sea water as well anyway.
Yes.
Some of the famous families, there was a lot of famous families over there, and obviously there's still very famous families over there right now.
Mm-hmm.
But back in the centuries, I suppose, Noel, there was names like the Bernards, the Smiths, the Fishers, who we spoke about before and today again, the Roaches and the Welches. So they were kind of the main, going back...
They were the main landowners of
15th,
such.
16th century, that kind of way.
Yes,
so we're talking very old kind of... A lot of this happened after the Desmond Rebellion as well. So in the 1583, kind of the land was, Walter Raleigh and all these guys came in here and everybody got a bit of land out of the whole thing.
Would he have got land out as far as the other side of the Kingsale Beg?
He had like 100,000 acres, you know the way. So like Walter Raleigh, but he was just useless as a landowner.
Sure, he didn't know what to do, wasn't he? He didn't know.
And it was like, I know we spoke, we've the Richard Boyle, the Earl of Cork as well. He was good, you know the way, with what he did with it. Like, so if you could make money out of something, you know, you're good. Walter Raleigh couldn't, you know. Walter Raleigh, there was a big, huge timber business up along the Blackwater. Walter Raleigh came in, cut all the trees down, but never kind of worked out how he was going to remove the trees and put them on the boats and all that. So they just, they were, as they said, they laid where they were cut, you know the way. So
yeah, and they're just rotted.
Rotted, yeah, and that's yeah. the type of guy that he was. As I yes. said, I've yes. you know the way. It's great for history to have him there and in Yall and all this kind of thing, but he wasn't the best. Probably, you know, he was probably
history
good at
it. Would probably put him down as useless after.
Useless. Yeah. Yeah. When it yeah. came to the likes of the land and all yeah. that, you know, on the yeah. seas and the high seas, no, he was probably a brilliant man, mm. You know, the way. So that was it. But yeah, it was, and funny enough, Piltown area as well, Noel, because we're talking about, we have a huge bay area inside, we call it inside, you know, the Ferry Point. I always said if it was dredged out or under that, it could be fantastic for like sailing boats and for different recreational, because it's a very protected, it's protected all around really.
But that was the, was that the old path of the Blackwater?
You're dead right, because yeah. now again the, I'd love for somebody to say it's not, but it's in all the books and everything like that, that the actual path of the Blackwater kind of came out along the bridge and then cut through Piltown and straight out to Whiten Bay. Now yes. if you're looking up in the hill, you could really see the way this was probably a good...
I tell you where you can see it from, actually. You can see it, actually, from the entrance to the College Hospital.
I'll go way over.
It's very
yeah.
prevalent there, actually, because you can look across and you can see a narrow little path. You can see the valley, and you can see where we said Monitrae Headland
yeah, yeah.
came all the way across at one stage, I suppose, and that the path actually... of the, you could see the path right through... into the distant Whiting Bay.
And if you're actually on the beach, Noel, as well, on Whiting Bay, you can actually see that as well, because the like it's not rock.
Yeah, you can see rock, it from the other side.
But if you're actually on the beach in Whiting Bay, it's like a clay bank. We'll say like Clay Castle is a clay bank, but that was made by the, we'll say, when the Ice Age, and the it was retreating, that's what was left from the Ice Age, is our Clay Castle. But it's a bit different over there, because it looks like it looks like a riverbed, basically.
Yeah, and I do believe some of the farmers over there, when they're tilling and probably when they turn up seashells.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
You see, so I suppose
and
that
was supposed to be anchors and different things, old stone anchors and everything.
Was there? Yeah,
as
yeah.
well, with found holes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, the way, so there's definitely thought about it, because, and I reckon, Noel, it wasn't that long ago that it was going out. So what they said here was in 830.
There was some big storm or something, wasn't there? Because I think that's in the annals, isn't it, of Old Yall as well?
It's in the annals of Yall, yeah. And actually it's covered in a lot of places, because there was, they said there was different islands. There was a headland or something like that, and there was two islands made out in West Cork as well. This must have been a huge storm, you know,
like,
the way. But even before that, like what I was, and I got this kind of from the Kinsale-Beg history, was I was trying to wonder, like, you know, obviously it didn't break down rock or anything like that, but what they were saying was Yall Harbour would have been probably shaley type, yeah, a bit like the way Ferry Point is at the moment. So there would have been a lot of stone around it and all that. And it just, so eventually, I suppose, the water just, maybe there was so much water pushed up along the Blackwater. If the winds were coming from the south, it would push a huge amount of water up, like a tidal, you know, a tsunami kind of effort, that it would just keep going up. And then on the way back, it has to come back out. When the tide goes out, it has to come back out. And it's a huge amount of water just probably took the straight line. A to B is the straight line.
Obviously,
the
So it must have been, I suppose, in front of the town here, as we look, we'll say, out towards Monitrae now, and out towards Easter Point. That must have been fail. I wonder, was it actually a bog, or was it actually...
It's hard to know, because all that kind of was saying there, somebody was saying that it was like shaley, stony.
Yes.
So it was just, but you could see the that the, you know, the course, it just went straight out then at that stage.
Yes.
So that kind of silted up then as well. Mm. We finished, and just to recap, I suppose, what we're kind of doing is looking over, and we started kind of last week at Monitrae.
Mm.
We didn't get too far.
We didn't get too far. No.
As usual.
But you see, as usual, I suppose, listen, just when you go these places, and when you look at these places, there's so much, as the title says, so much to do and so much to see.
And we're hoping everybody will get out there as well. Anyway.
Exactly, yeah.
But so we kind of started in Monitrae, we're doing Ferry Point, we're kind of doing the house, the turret, as we call it, Newtown House, and then the older house as well, Prospect Hall as well.
Prospect
Hall. So we're after doing kind of all these. But the one, actually, I suppose... Woodbine Hill. Woodbine Hill now is a house, you know the way,
yes.
but it's called Woodbine Hill as well, but it's a house.
Mm.
And I suppose the easy way to say this one, Noel, is we'll work backwards. Instead of going from Monitrae, we'll start, you know, coming to Piltown, past the church, carry on. Let's just call it Liam Allen's crossroads.
The five crossroads. Liam Allen's cross, as we call it, Allen's cross, yeah.
And instead of turning right to go down to, we'll say, Monatree, what you do is just carry it straight on.
Yes.
You kind of come to a T-junction. It veers around to the main road, is around to the left, but you can turn right there as well, which will bring you again back down to Ferry Point. And it's a lovely little road.
Yes.
But when you get to there, you're looking at... we'll say Woodbine Hill, the house itself.
Right.
Very imposing mansion of a place. I think there's an equestrian centre there as well at this stage.
That's right, yes, yes.
There are the things. Beautiful house. It's just a beautiful setting and all the woods around it and all that. Well worth to have a look at it, and it's well worth to go up to that crossroad if you're heading to Ferry Point and just go down that way, because that'll bring you past Kinsalebeg Church and all these different houses that we were talking about as well.
Yes.
Just on that old road as well. Lovely little things. But the actual house, we'll say, before, I suppose, the house that is there today, again, it was the Walshes.
The Walshes actually had it, is it?
Yeah. The whole lands kind of were all the... You see, again, this is all from the time of the Desmond Rebellion.
Yeah.
So that kind of ended in 1683-ish. So all the lands were divided. You know the way everybody got a little bit of land there as well. And that's basically what it was.
Was there money? People ask me this, and we talked about it before. Would you think there was money changed hands for this, or was it just bequeathed it like Walter Raleigh, or
I'd say what it was the likes of the Walter Raleighs got, you know, 100,000 acres, and then somebody came along and bought, you know, 5,000 acres off him, or
for a couple of quid.
Or it might have been like Walter Raleigh's generals, then he would have given out bits of land to those guys, you know, the way. So he'd have to pay back somebody as well on top of it. And I'd say that's the way it was, like, because there was a lot of land things. Because I remember the time of the sacking of Yall, like the 1640s in Yall, around Yall, was the rebellion was on the 1641 to 1649, and then obviously Oliver Cromwell came in and finished all
finished a lot of it up for us.
But there was a lot happening. We're going to end up in that as well tonight. But yeah, the Walshes, we'll say, were a huge family kind of around that area. They, you know, where the Piltown itself, the mill and all that kind of areas. This is all the Walshes as well. And we're coming on to them again, actually, about their house as well, on top of this, which is no more. But from around, we'll say, yeah, the 1600s to the 1720s, it was the Walshes. Then the Bernards came and they kind of took over, and the actual house as we see it today, right? So there might have been something there. I'm not sure. Was there an actual house? But the house we know today was built by George Roach, one of the Roaches.
Well, yes.
And it was built between 1845 and 1850. So this is famine time. So maybe it was like a famine relief.
Famine relief.
Kind of area as well at the time. So, and I think the Roach family, Perks family, the Roach Perks family.
Yes.
They still own it.
They still own it today.
So it's great to see, like, the old hands.
It's great to see it being continued on in from family to family, still being, you know, as it was, basically.
And no, the second building that I was kind of interested in myself when I was kind of doing this was, and I always thought it was a mill. So if you were, again, go through the crossroads, the five crossroads, Liam Allen's, and you come up to, we'll say, the crossroads, as I call it, Woodbine Hill House is right in front of you.
Yes.
Instead of going right down to Ferry Point, if you turn left, you'd be heading towards Kelso Bay. So that'll bring you up to Kelso Bay.
Yes.
So you go up the hill and then you go down into Kelso Bay. Well worth it, guys. Kelso Bay is absolutely gorgeous. If you haven't been there for a while, bring a picnic with you. Plenty of parking down there as well. And it's just a nice thing. But just as you kind of go around the corner, right, you're passing beside Woodbine Hill House, and you're just going up the hill a small bit, and on the right hand side there's a little house inside, and it's just kind of inside in the woods, really.
Yes.
And I always thought it was a mill. I've up to this point doing this bit of history, I thought it was a mill, but what it was actually was the, and I hope I'm getting the guy's name right, Eramus, E-R-A-S-M-U-S, Erasmus,
Erasmus
Smith School. So it was a school.
It was a school.
And what it said was, in the period from 1840 onwards, this building was described as a school for primarily of Church of Ireland residents of the parish. The building was leased by Percy Scott Smith. So it was the Smith School, but it was leased from Percy, but different Smiths, different spelling Smith and all that as well. So I put in possibly no relation as well anyway.
Yes, yes.
But himself, that Erasmus Smith himself was born 1611 to 1691, was a very wealthy merchant. And do you know how he made his money?
Oh, no.
Feeding Cromwell's bloody army. So he was a merchant. And
to remind you of, we said, the Klondike, you know.
Yeah.
Fellas didn't make their fortune in the gold. They made their fortune like with the likes of Levi's jeans shovels and hammers and picks and everything. Oh, and clothing, you see.
And,
you
that's,
and the same with this fella, yeah.
He was, yeah, because he said he was one of the main suppliers of food during the Cromwellian military campaigns in Ireland.
He saw good thing, didn't he? Yeah.
He must have made a lot of money, being honest with you, because what he did then was he set up a scholarship and opened up schools around the place.
Again, oh, yes.
It was very the good. Erasmus things. And the scholarship still exists today, believe it or not, after 400 years.
Isn't that amazing?
There's still money in the kitty, you know the way, for this scholarship as well. So fair dues to him, you know the way. He made his money, but he spent the money then as well at that stage and gave most of it away as well. So that's that little house there.
It was actually a school.
A school.
Fascinating.
If you go up there, you'll see the things. A lovely little area, you know the way. There's obviously, it's just covered in wooded area around it. Beautiful. But we're going to come back down again. And we're heading now into Pilltown itself.
Yes.
And we're going to the mills, you know, the famous mills.
Your Fisher's Mill.
Fisher's Mill.
Yeah, Fisher's Mill, as we call it.
It surprised me, actually, because I, you know the way, you think of the mill, and I thought when the tide came in, it turned a wheel or something like that. I was trying to wonder how this kind of worked.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, because, and if you can imagine, now, for everybody, if you're ever kind of going down to Ferry Point, I suppose the easy way to do it, I always do this way because it's a lot easier. Obviously, you come from Youghal, you turn left to go down to Clashmore, and then
yes,
underneath
you go underneath the bipe, underneath
underneath the road, and head down that way. But on the way back up, don't go that way.
You can go by the mill and come straight on, shoot onto the back road.
Bring you, because you don't have to cross the road, and that is a hell of a lot safer as well. Yeah. But
that was the old road, apparently, before the road was done, before all that. That was the old road down to Kingsalbeg.
Oh, was it?
Remember now, travelling down that road several times before the road was widened there and the underpass was put in. That was the old road down there. Healy's Pub, I think, was down there.
I just passed it the other day as well, just to have a look at it again, because it's closed, actually, Healy's Pub.
Well, it's closed for a long, long time, yeah.
Because if you, and the easy way today to say it, if you're coming from, we'll say Ferry Point for everybody, and you passed Pilltown Church, just on your left-hand side as you're driving past it, just after it, you'll see the little road. There is a guy, he does cabinets, and he makes
furniture
as well.
Yes.
He's just on the corner.
Yes.
But just there, there's a little road.
A slip road. Yeah, and it takes up around.
And it goes down the little hill, and there's a little stream, which is very important to our little story as well. Just there, and you kind of, not even a bridge, it just, the stream goes underneath the road. And then you're looking at the mill.
The mill is right in front of you.
Straight in front, you can't miss it. But Noel, if you keep going up, you know, you come to the kind of the corner there where the gates to go into the mill is.
Yes.
And then Healy's Pub was there. And then if you look closely as you're heading, you're kind of go up the hill, you're heading, you can see the main road then at that stage because you're just heading it up. But have a look at your left-hand side, all the way is from Healy's Pub to the main road, cottages. Old cottages. They're in behind.
Never took any notice of them. Never saw them.
Yeah. All the ways up all to the very top. I'd say
they were mill
cottages, you know, they had
so
they had to
fascinating
be there.
Never realised they were there. How many more people like that know never realised those cottages were there?
But definitely have a look at it anyway. So and we brought in the Fishers again because obviously the Fishers were Quakers, you know the way, and they were fantastic people for the locals as well.
We did an interview here actually about a couple of months ago actually with a lady that was looking for the connections for the Fisher family.
I heard that one actually.
You see, and no, I don't know how she got on, but I do know there's, I think there was Fishers in Ballycotton, whether there were any relation of them there. But it is interesting to note that she was very interested in the mill, and she went over to see the mill when she was here and the whole lot.
Brilliant.
Like, you know. But
but the Kinsalbeg History website, there's a lot of stuff about the Fishers, the guys that wrote that.
She was looking for relations, living relations. Would there be any dependents?
Well, if she's money, I'll be her relation tomorrow.
I tell her that. Very good. Very good.
What they're saying, if you look at the mill itself, the way it is today, obviously it's a ruin and all that, and but it's huge, you know, the way it is, still huge.
It was a colossal building. For a mill, I suppose, around here, it was a colossal building.
But it was, and it was, you see, it was, we'll say, It was took over by the Fishers, we'll say, in 1795. I thought it was built in 1795, but they were saying no. It was
It was a mill before that.
But I wouldn't say it was the same size mill. I'd say it was a lot smaller at the time. And the Fishers ran it for over 70 years, we'll say, which is a long time for, you know, for a mill as well.
Yes.
But they said when the Walshes took it over from the Desmond, because the Desmonds were there, and we're going to mention a castle, which probably nobody in Piltown even knows about.
Yes.
Which the Desmonds had, and I'll come on to that now in 2 seconds. But when the Walshes took over after the Desmonds left, they said that, and this was in 1655, they mentioned the mill, a mill, you know, the way on the site. So this was, and the mill beside the castle, and that's the way it was put on as well. So there was definitely a mill. But when the Fishers took it over, I'd say they expanded it. Yeah. And the, we'll say that what it says here, the mill itself contains 6 pairs of milling stones. So that means there was, you know, it wasn't just one set of milling stones.
So it was 6 stones.
6 milling, 6 pairs, because obviously there was a top and the bottom, the corn the, yeah, used to go into it.
One was stationary and the other was actually turning.
Turning it. And what it said was processing an average 500 barrels of wheat and 50 tonnes of Indian corn. It was just, you know, and I think that's a week.
My goodness.
Yeah, that's not.
Because listening to it when you said 6 stones, like, it would require a fair amount of horsepower to turn.
A fair amount of water.
6 stones.
And where you got that from, there was a massive 40-foot diameter water wheel running this. Now, how was the water wheel pushed? What it was there was, I think it was up to 6 acres. If you're going up the road, right, we're talking now again, remember I said to you about the cottages?
Yes.
Or if you're going up towards the headroad, all the land on the right hand side, there was a field there now, but I think the field was used when they were building the new road, we call it, part of it.
Yes.
They dumped all their kind of the spoils inside there.
Yeah.
There was ponds, what they call the mill ponds, were inside there, and there's a stream, the stream when you're actually driving down towards the mill, as I just said, it goes in underneath the water and goes into the sea.
So obviously
that would have fed it.
The stream wouldn't be sufficient enough to feed it itself, but the stream filled the reservoir. So they took advantage of, we said, the fall from the reservoir.
Absolutely.
Down.
And what it was, it's called the mill ponds. And I think what it was, speaking to one of the locals there as well, he said that the tube, we'll say, came across the top of the road from the mill ponds, and it was up to 6 acres of water, basically. So what it was they'd probably run the mill during the daytime, and then at night time
it would fill away by
itself as well. Yeah. Bit like flushing the toilet.
Yes, exactly.
It all comes out at once.
The same principle, I think, was, and we talked about it before, the same principle was here, I think, for the Franciscan Abbey.
You were saying, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
we still have the pond field.
And I know there was another one at Impont up Wymill Hill, just in the fields, just beside Wymill Hill as well. But it was. No, think of this, right? We said it's a fairly big place, the mill itself. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to come back to the mill some other time as well with different things. But it said in today's money, and then this is again from the good guys from Kinsale Big History, its turnover in the 1850s in today's money was in excess of 10 million per annum, 10 million euros per annum. Now, that's
a
big mill, known for
that. That's a big mill.
So they had a big enterprise going
on. They
there.
Had a very, very big. But you reckon that it was the Fishers actually that, we'd say, took that idea 100%. And expanded it. Yes.
So I'd say before that it was just a small kind of mill for the local gentry, maybe.
Because, for the castle, maybe there
for
was
the castle.
Yeah, for there was there.
And you see, I'm coming on to that now, because there was the manor of Piltown and there was the castle of Piltown, right? And can I just actually say good morning to Meg and Tommy McGraw over in Piltown there as well, because
very good.
Good old Meg and Tommy as well.
Yeah.
Because I suppose Meg and Tommy would like actually live kind of behind. We'll say in front of now at this stage is the manor of Piltown. So if you're again coming from Ferry Point, you go through, you know, you're heading towards, you're passing again Piltown Church, heading towards, you know, you're heading towards Yall again. Piltown Manor was where the kind of the church today is, the new church.
Yeah.
In the fields, I noticed at the estate there was the old
Noel Hogan and them are living now.
There, yeah.
Around that would be, that was a very flat area. That would have been the.
And it was behind, we'll say, you know, there's an older estate. We'll say there's a newer estate on beside the church on your left hand side if you're heading towards Yall. And then there's the older estate where Meg and Tommy McGraw live as well.
And they're on the right hand side.
And they're on the right hand side there as well. it was kind of, what I can get out of it from the maps is behind that estate, Tommy and Mag's estate, that's where Piltown Manor was. And they kind of showed a picture of a gate now. But this goes back, it was a fairly impressive building. You know,
yes.
It was a big building. We have a kind of a woodcut of it here as well.
It was quite a big imposing three-story building, wasn't it? With grounds around it and sheds and again, outhouses around it.
This would have been the Welches. So it was like, it's nice to have a castle and it's nice to have a house. You know, when there's nothing happening, you live in the house. When there's a lot happening, you live in the castle. And it was what they said was the manor was probably built around the 1590s. So when the Welches came, this would have been after definitely the Desmonds left it. Mm. So around the 1590s, and then it was leased then to different people by the Welches then as well at that
stage.
Yes. There is absolutely nothing left of it at the moment. They said it was a large structure and there was a defensive wall around the manor, which was built along military lines. But I don't think I did kind of Google Earth and all this kind of stuff. I can't see anything. So if there's anybody out there that knows anything about this one, it'll be brilliant.
Well, it was probably built around military lines. That would lend credence to your answer a little bit earlier on to say that a lot of these generals were kind of paid with lands and kind, whatever the case may be. They didn't get money, probably, but they got lands.
No, and I wonder how the natives are going to be about me taking over now. Let's build a wall.
Let's build a big wall.
The best bit kind of comes at last, because we've Piltown Castle. Noel, up to a couple of weeks ago, I never knew there was such a place called Piltown Castle.
Neither did I. Piltown Castle.
And just to prove, because I always say, Noel will be looking at me sometimes like, are you making this up? I've even printed maps and everything with the castle. So where the corn mill was, we were just talking about Fisher's Corn Mill, and I reckon the reason behind this is again my own thinking, adding 101 and getting 54.
Yes.
But what on the old maps, it shows that the castle is behind the mill. So the land that, if you go into the mill where the mill is, it's in private land, so I don't think you can do that. But if you walk past it around the corner, kind of facing towards Yall, you know the way you can see Yall from there, that's exactly where the castle was. And it was a very imposing castle. It was, and there's a great story with it. We're going to finish off now here with a nice little story. But Noel, there's nothing left of it, right?
Nothing. And nothing left of the manor,
But I reckon when they were building the mill, maybe when the fishers were actually expanding the mill, there's loads of stone there. You know, and if you look at the mill, it's made out of stone. You know, actually, not block, not things. Where are they going to get it? You know the way? It's so easy. And we spoke about...
Yeah. The castle is empty. Let's take it down.
Believe me, there was nothing left of this castle anyway at that stage, and this is why we're coming on to the story as well. So the castle was there, and the castle was, we'll say, the Desmonds. At the time, it was built by the Desmonds. They built all the castles around the area. So, and it was 15th century, probably 1400s, they actually built it in. Much the same as, you know, the ones we see today, Temple Michael and all these kind of things as well.
Yeah, it's the same idea with the Franciscan Friary and the stones.
Absolutely.
Everybody used, I suppose.
Very hard to break a stone nowadays with what we have, but back in them days.
Yeah, I suppose the stones that they wanted, they'd have to travel miles.
Yeah.
To get that kind of stone. So they had already made right beside, let's dismantle the castle.
And that's what I said to one of the lads there was telling me about the castle, and he said there's nothing there. He said they checked, you know, the way.
Yeah.
And I said, well, if it was me, I would have been digging up the foundations and everything just to get at the stone, because
it was very,
and it's right beside the mill. So it would have been a kind of an ideal place to get it.
Mm.
So really we said about the Desmonds, they actually built it. And this Piltown Castle, and then it was taken over by the Walshes then at that stage. I must go back, because Michael Toomey then has the book as well. It's brilliant. It's all about the 1641 rebellion and what happened to y'all, and listen to his cannons on Ferry Point, and we can go into this another time as well. But we'd say during the rebellion of 1641-49, this was the old Cromwell, the round hats, you know, the parliamentary forces and all that.
They were kind of taking over.
They killed Charles I. I think that was 1644. Actually, 2 weeks ago with myself and Helen and Stephen, we were up in Galway and we had a meal in the King's Head. And the story is that when Charles I was being executed, the parliamentaries, Cromwell and his buddies, they put it out to tender for an executioner, and none of the English executioners had done it. So an Irish guy put up his hand and he said, I'll do that, you know, give us the money, and came back to Galway, bought a pub called the King's Head, and, and that's it. Yeah. You can go in and have a meal there.
And it's amazing because Cromwell lost his head to the Queen after that.
Well, he didn't, he died of natural causes.
He died naturally.
But they actually, you're right, because what they did was they dug him back up.
They dug him back.
And then they decapitated him.
Where'd you go,
he was dead at that stage.
Just making sure,
To be sure.
Yeah, yeah.
During the 1641 rebellion, the Irish Confederates, it was a funny one, we can go into it another time again, the Irish Confederates were there. They were all kind of the older Norman type, Catholic mainly guys. And they were against the parliamentary army, but then they were like their enemies at the time would bind with the royalists because the parliamentary were against everybody. That's like what's the old thing, my enemy's enemy is my friend.
Yes, exactly.
They became, and then there was a lot of guys changing sides and all that kind of good stuff as well. So this castle was being taken and retaken over and over again. It was very important for anything from the east, we'll say the West Waterford side, to have this castle. It was an important place for them as well, for the Blackwater and different things as well.
Of course, it had, I suppose, a commanding view of the Blackwater right down into Yall.
Absolutely,
hadn't it, really?
And the boats can come in there. You know, the way you can get it, you can get the boats in there as well. But there was, we'll say, back in the end of days was kind of August 1646 for poor old Piltown Castle, because what it said was the Confederates held the castle and was attacked by the parliamentary forces, which was led by the our friend the Earl of Inchiquin. No, he's not to do with Inchiquin Castle. Inchiquin in our area. He's actually Inchiquin, I think it's in Kerry.
Yes.
And he was the Earl of Inchiquin. But he was known as Murrough O'Brien, but also very well known in history as Murrough the Burner. Not a nice guy, you know what I mean?
No. Kind of fond of the matches.
And he was the guy that burnt down Cashel Castle with everybody in it just to get one at one guy. He wasn't too sure who he was, so he burnt them all. You know, this guy was not a nice guy.
No.
But again, guys, you're all sitting in Piltown as well at the moment, probably listening to this, and you're saying, what's he talking about, the castle? So what they said was the castle was described, and this was by the parliamentary forces afterwards, and they said that the outer wall or earthworks was about 20 foot high from its base to the surrounding moat to the top of the wall. So it must have been fairly close to the water, you know the way, because there was a moat there as well.
Yes.
Inside the outer earthworks, there was a stone courtyard with a 12 foot wall. So there was an outer wall made out of earth and then an inside wall. And then inside this, there was another courtyard with a 12 foot wall. And inside the wall was the actual castle itself.
So pretty imposing structure, wasn't it?
You had to go through a lot. Believe me, in the story, the parliamentaries had to go through a lot. So first of all, they had to go through the outer walls and then trying to get into the castle itself. But it was brilliant because the Confederates really put up a fight. You know, there was a quarter, no quarter. They knew at this stage there was going to be no quarter shown to these guys.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the way if you go so far, quarter is just, you know, if you give up in time.
Yeah, you'll get a safe passage kind of out. Yeah. And but the these didn't.
But, like, the parliamentaries wanted this castle. They didn't want to, you know, destroy anything. They wanted to keep the castle. They wanted to get lads to get out, but the lads wouldn't, the Confederates wouldn't get out of it, because they wanted that actual castle as their own castle. So what it says was, during the fight, there was a lot of men lost, and especially when they got into the courtyard, there was a lot more men. And then there was the castle, so all the Confederates went into the castle, blocked up the doors, and they start throwing stones down at the lads down below, the parliamentaries below, killing loads of them again.
Yes.
So obviously they knew, whatever happens, we're not going to live through this anyway, you know the way. Eventually the parliamentaries broke in to the castle, in through the doors. But, I'm going to read exactly what the guy says from the parliamentary side. He said, the rogues still defended it and broke down the stone stairs to prevent our men from getting up to them. So in other words, they had no chance now of actually getting up to the Confederates.
No.
So what it says was the brave Piltown Castle Confederate garrison refused to surrender despite being overwhelming and outnumbered by 3,000 army, men army, it says. So what the parliamentary, the only thing that they didn't want to do, but they had to do it, was place barrels of gunpowder against it, and they blew the crap out of it. So the fishers were very happy.
Obviously, there were stones.
There were stones everywhere.
There were stones everywhere. You know, and the lads, of course, were blown
to bits. They said hundreds. There was hundreds died in the action. Goodness. And that was all just in Piltown there.
No. Who'd have ever thought that Piltown was a nice, quiet little place yeah. there? Who'd ever thought that all that went on?
Absolutely.
Look in front of the church, basically.
And take a walk down there, you know the way. Take a drive down there as well. I keep saying you have to go down to Monatray, these areas as well. But just, you know, go off the beaten track a small bit as well. Get lost. You know, you're never lost in Ireland.
It's an island.
You're finding a new place, you know, a new way of getting to a different place.
We passed these places, and in the series of programmes, as you said there now, from Knockadoon to Ardmore, the title has so much to do and see. We pass these places.
Don't even know.
We take no notice of them. Yep. 'Tis only when we get the history that we're saying, wow. And that's the way I am now saying, wow.
But even though for myself, as I said, that Kinsale-Beg history website is brilliant. There's so many stories. I'm going to rob whoever wrote it, by the way. I'm going to rob so many stories from your
I'm sure you won't mind.
I hope you won't mind. That's kind of the whole bit from the area, Noel. That's all I have now today.
Yeah, it's been fascinating coming in and talking to, and I still think of the words of the village schoolmaster, still they gazed and still no wonder grew that one small head could carry all it knew.
But I'm a big head anyway, so
Noel. It's Mike, you're taking a little bit of a break from us.
I was just saying to Noel there, I'm going to take it just for the summer holidays because my lad, Stephen, has finished up school. So we're just for his summer holidays as well. I'm going to just take a break.
Very good.
We're going to get in the boat and we're going to do a bit of fishing and all this kind of good stuff as well. Yeah. But it'll be great for me to get back into the history, back, you know, as you're heading back into wintertime.
I'm
hoping to be back for the end of September if you'll have me.
We will, of course, Mike.
I'd be delighted to be back
again. We will, of course. Mike, enjoy the summer.
Appreciate everything. Thanks very much, guys. Thanks very much. Bye.